We are here with the Cult Theater Canon podcast. My guest host this evening is...
Phil, you're recording.
I know, I am recording. I just wanted to get a little casual banter there in the beginning. How about that?
Okay.
Are you alright with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. While we're talking, I'm going to go ahead and open up my Wikipedia page to the movie that we're going to discuss tonight. The movie that we're going to discuss, perhaps not what you would expect normally from the Cult Theater Canon podcast. Mr. Mosher, why don't you go ahead and introduce us to this film?
Okay. Zach asked me a question, like, what is one of my favorite movies that a lot of people don't like? And the first thing that came to my mind is literally my number two favorite movie of all time, Legally Blonde.
And I said to myself, let's do a podcast on Legally Blonde. And Bill agreed. And I'm going to defend this choice. I'm going to defend it because it's a movie. It did well in the box office when it came out. It had a sequel that did not do so well, and the sequel is largely inferior to the original film. I have seen the sequel, actually, believe it or not. More than likely, I saw it with some girlfriend of some kind or something back in the
day.
And subsequently, due to the perceived crappiness of the sequel, the original kind of got dragged down along with it in a way, if that makes any sense at all. But then, a few years ago, they made the original one into a musical, and it became a smash hit. It ran for quite some time.
It was an awful musical, though. It was awful.
It ran for quite some time. It's no longer on Broadway, but it's open to actually good reviews in London. They've brought the stage show to London. So I thought that, all right, what the hell, why not? Let's talk about it. And maybe I'm not doing such a good job at justifying why Legally Blonde deserves to be culted or canned, but it's one of Bill's favorite movies, and Bill is one of my favorite people. So this is for
you.
Well,
thank you.
This is for you, Bill.
Well, thanks. One of the reasons why it's my favorite movies is because it really goes towards what I like in movies,
which
and,
is
and being watchable. There are a lot of movies that I love that are really deep and have great messages and have all these wonderful performances, but I can only watch them once or twice. AI is the perfect example for me. I love that movie every second of it, but I can only watch it once a decade because it's so sad.
It sounds like the way you feel about AI is kind of like the way I feel about something like There Will Be Blood or No Country for Old Men. Like they're all great movies, good technical showcases for filmmaking, but not exactly something that you could watch every single day and feel good about when you're all the way done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with Legally Blonde, it is so watchable. Reese Witherspoon is so likable that it always just drags me back in, even when I'm feeling lousy. And by the end of the movie, I am happy I watched it, and I'm feeling, you know, great.
There was a period of time from about around 1999 to about 2005, where Reese Witherspoon was the darling of Hollywood. Her time has kind of come and gone. She's kind of entered into that period in her career where she's probably going to need some kind of like procedural drama on TNT or the FX network to...
No. She is A-list through and through. She just needs to make a movie.
Yeah, she's taken some time off. I believe, did she not go through some kind of a horrible divorce from her husband?
Yeah, Ryan Felipe.
Yeah, so it was pretty bad there in her personal life for a while there. I will say this, you can't deny that she has a very strong screen presence.
Without a doubt, she's one of the few people to come in any time that actually is a star.
And Legally Blonde is definitely a premier, how to put it, platform for her talents as a winning screen presence, as a gifted actor and a gifted comedian.
I was watching an interview that Barbara Walters was giving regarding the reason why she's not doing the Academy Award special anymore. And one of the reasons that she gave was stars are different now. They aren't really stars anymore. The movie opens the movie, not the name.
Right.
Whereas, you know, once upon a time, if Clark Gable was in a movie, it immediately made a ton of money. I posit that Reese Witherspoon is a star and her name will sell tickets.
Yeah, and I could see that, definitely. She's got a very good, very, very solid filmography. Obviously, Legally Blonde is a good film and deserving of the accolades that it got when it was released in 2001. She's also an Academy Award winner. She won the Academy Award for Walk the Line.
Wonderful film.
She's also been in some other big hits, such as Sweet Home Alabama. She's fantastic in Pleasantville. And she's in Election, which I think is one of the best teen comedies, and
often, it's so weird.
Often overlooked.
Yeah.
And then she's also in a very, very, very great film from the early 90s called Man in the Moon, not to be mistaken for the Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman biopic. But it's just a very small film where she plays a Southern girl, and she's got an older sister, and she's kind of jealous of her older sister because her older sister is developing into young womanhood. And she develops a crush on the neighbor boy who is a farmer, and it very, very well done, small drama. And that's actually the first time that I saw her in a movie. I've liked a lot of what she's done. She's made some good decisions as an actress, and there's a reason why she's an A-list actress, like you said earlier, Bill, because she can pick a good role, and she has a very winning screen presence. And that definitely shows in Legally Blonde. Let's talk a little bit about the plot
of the actual film.
Yeah, of the actual film. So let's talk about the plot of the film.
It's been likened to Clueless for college.
Yes.
Where the girl from California, the only dream she wants is to get married rich, and you know, generate children and live the life spas all day.
She's
really oblivious to the world around her.
She's a sorority girl.
A sorority girl. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And the boy that she fell in love with and wants to marry says it's time to get serious.
Right.
If he wants to be a politician, he can't marry, you know, the Marilyn Monroe. He has to marry the Jackie O. And so he goes off to Harvard Law School. And after dumping our Elle Woods, who's Reese's character, you know, crying in a pile of her own mascara.
And for those of you who don't know what Harvard Law School is, it is a very prestigious Ivy League university that is extremely difficult to get into.
And that's its big credential.
Yes.
It's where the Skull and Bone Society is. It's where, you know, half of Congress went to school.
Yeah, and like the big CEOs and all the old school guys that with their boys clubs and so forth. This is a great movie to showcase some of not only the gender differences between men and women, you know, vis-a-vis the politics that go on in the classroom, but also the idea of prejudging somebody, of taking somebody at face value. Because you look at Elle Woods and at face value you see this very kind of vain, vapid sorority girl, but as the movie goes on,
and he's not going to dump her.
Yes. She's gonna dump him.
Yes, but she is going to win him back.
And as the movie goes on, and you get to deeper and deeper into Elle's character, not only is there a very strong script behind it, but Witherspoon's performance really wins you over in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah, it's not that she's an idiot. It's just she's never been asked to think before.
Right. Yes. I mean, because she is beautiful, people have always kind of taken her at face value, no pun intended. And she's never really had to lift a finger or do anything difficult. Like, the most difficult thing she has to do is, what would you say, Bill? Go shopping, maybe?
Yeah. Choose who wins in the kissing contest.
Yeah, exactly. That's the most difficult thing. She's got a very, very, very easy life, not only because she's rich and beautiful, but because...
When she talks to her father, he says, law school's for serious people. You don't want to be serious, pumpkin, do you?
So there's some shades of some darker teen comedies like Election and like Heathers that do kind of pop up periodically in this film, but we should make no bones about it. This was very much packaged as a commercial marketable film, and it was a huge success at the box office. Mm-hmm. I had mentioned to Bill before we went on that I really, really, really liked Reese Witherspoon's performance in this. She really sells me as Elle, and I can't stress that enough, but we should talk about some of the supporting players as well. Luke Wilson, I think, is seriously underrated as far as actors go. There was a time where he and his brother Owen were kind of like seemingly in every single movie that came out. That's kind of slowed down a bit. In fact, I haven't really seen Luke Wilson in a movie in a long time.
I'm not too upset with that.
not a fan of Luke Wilson.
They became overexposed.
He did. And so,
I like him, but he just has the one shtick.
Right, and as does his brother, and they're both very similar shticks.
Yeah.
But Luke Wilson portrays a character by the name of Emmett Richmond. He's an associate attorney of some kind, or I can't remember exactly. But he is basically hired to... Bill, why don't you explain what's going on with there so I don't screw it up.
Okay, there's a slight mystery with him on Elle's first bad day. Because she walks around in pink with the blonde hair, and,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's not paying any attention to her.
Right.
He's the one person who actually says, "Hey, how's it going?" and is nice to her.
Yes.
And it's not really important who he is, until the plot happens, and she gets picked for a case as a freshman intern, and he is also on the case and probably is the one who pulled for her getting in.
He sees something in her that her fellow students and teachers and professors, whatever you want to say, her peers don't.
She has a fire in her that everybody else wearing, khaki and plaid don't have.
We should say that on her first day in the in class, she's treated with real contempt by her fellow students who don't take her seriously. So
including Selma Blair as Vivian.
The woman who has caught the attention of Elle's ex-boyfriend.
I think Elle Woods is the only person with the last name in this movie. Evil Vivian. That's the character's name. the boyfriend says in the beginning, he's looking for the Jackie O. That's what she looks like.
She does.
She looks like Jackie O.
There's this whole Marilyn versus Jackie thing, which if you remember if you've ever seen Mad Men, particularly the second season of Mad Men, there's this whole is she a Marilyn or is she a Jackie O type of thing going on, because I believe that in the second season of that is when they're fully into JFK's presidency and Jackie O becomes kind of like a fashion icon.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, there's some of that in this as well, and I don't know, Bill. I kind of like Jackie O over Marilyn. I gotta say, but as far as this movie goes, I will take Elle Woods any day over Vivian, evil
Vivian.
Well,
you're supposed to.
Of course, that's the way she's written.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the plot, Bill?
Okay, we've been dancing around it. She gets into law school, because she wants to. The reason she gets in is because in her taped interview, she's wearing all these skimpy outfits, and the old guys that are on the academic advisory boards, like blonde bimbos and baby bathing suits, and let her in.
That's very sexist.
and so she's chasing around Warner, the boyfriend, and eventually, at one point, Warner says that it's never going to happen, and it finally occurs to Elle Woods that she can't be the person that he wants,
mm-hmm.
and so she should stop trying and just be better than her and Vivian and everybody who's getting her down.
And I will say that I liked it. That is the direction the film went in, because they could have spent the whole movie. It could have been an entire movie of Elle tries to get back together with her ex-boyfriend. And it's really not. So I kind of like how that takes place.
Yeah, and so there's a big case that one of her professors is involved with, and opens up some intern spots. She gets in along with the boyfriend and the boyfriend's girlfriend, and this becomes a big rivalry. And it all focuses around this case, which has Ali Larder as Taylor Wyndham, as accused of killing her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And only through proper hair care management does Elle Woods, the blonde, figure out that not only did she not kill her husband, but the eyewitness,
the cabana boy,
who did it. No, the daughter Chutney.
Oh, I thought you meant the cabana boy had lied about his story.
Well, that was one part. The cabana boy,
That was my.
who
That's actually.
identifies her shoes as last season. She immediately
Yes.
understands his gang.
That's my actually my not my least favorite, excuse me. That's actually my favorite part of the movie, when he is kind of under cross examination by Luke Wilson, and he just says, "And what's your boyfriend's name?" And the guy says, "Chuck." And
No, Chuck is just a friend.
outs himself in front of the entire courtroom accidentally. A very, very well written scene.
And it's filled with all of these silly, comedy things.
Right, and it's
It's
not.
a romantic comedy that really focuses on the comedy.
Yes, and and again, that's another reason why I like this movie as well. It kind of reminds me of Wedding Crashers in a lot of way. I mean, it's a romantic comedy, but it's almost disguised as something else entirely, and it doesn't take itself seriously. But despite that, it's still a smart movie, and there's a lot of good dialogue and a lot of good characters, a lot of strong performances in it.
One of the best characters we didn't even get to was Jennifer Coolidge,
Oh, the
as
manicurist.
Paulette. When Elwood has her bad day, she immediately goes to get a manicure and meets Paulette, this Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom.
Yes.
She's playing her standard, dumb as a doornail character, and provides this great comic relief for Elle Woods, and shows that Elle Woods really does have that heart of gold. So that not only, because the bad in us is expecting Elle Woods to be just as bad as everybody else, and show that she's a failure and she's really an idiot. But no, she proves to be just what we want, the true all-American hero that helps everybody.
Yes. So this is a movie that's not necessarily going to change your perception of the way the universe works or anything like that. But I do feel like it's kind of been forgotten in a way, and maybe that's due to the fact that the sequel is not very great and kind of loses a lot of the spirit of the original, especially as far as the script goes. But this is.
I did like the sequel a lot,
Yeah.
but it did have it wasn't the same.
No, it's really not. It's we've talked before on the podcast, maybe not with you specifically, maybe with one of the other hosts, but I've talked before about it, how it's difficult to capture lightning in a jar twice. And when you make a film that's, that kind of comes out of nowhere like this film did, nobody expected this film to be as big of a success as it was. It's really hard to do that twice, and that's why I will continually advise against making unnecessary sequels to films. That's why I have advocated for movies like Paranormal Activity and said, don't make a sequel to this movie because it's not going to be any good whatsoever. And you can see that as a pessimistic viewpoint if you'd like, and perhaps it is, it's arguable. But the fact remains that almost every time there's some kind of a movie which is a could be considered a cultural phenomenon, which I think you could call this movie in a lot of ways, you should just leave it at that and not go back to the well. Just last week, my co-host Nick and I, we reviewed Clerks 2, which in a lot of ways I felt, despite the fact that I liked that movie a lot, was kind of lazy in some ways, a return to the well, a way for Kevin Smith
Well, he admits it.
to go back to some of his glory years. That was a film that succeeds in a lot of ways, and you can listen to that podcast if you have not listened to it. But I will continually say that there should not have been a sequel to this movie at all. It has a perfectly good ending. It doesn't really set itself up for a sequel, and
I needed a sequel.
the sequel to me was just kind of a shameless cash grab.
It was. But it with the sequel, it was Reese Witherspoon's first producer job.
Really?
The first one was released by, I can't even say, I think it was MGM.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I believe it
And
is
the
MGM.
second one was Type A Films, and Type A Films is Reese's own production company.
Yeah, the first one is MGM.
Yeah, this one came out of nowhere. It produced a lot of laughs. And it's one that I can watch over and over and over again.
I don't like Ally Larder at all. I absolutely hate her character on Heroes. She's one of the reasons why I stopped watching that show because
I liked her.
I couldn't take her week after week, but I liked her in this movie, I will
Oh,
say.
she didn't have too much.
I really want Selma Blair to act more, by the way.
Me too.
I really like her, and she's deceptively older than she looks. She's like in her mid-30s at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, 37. 37. And she does not look 37 whatsoever.
No.
But she hasn't really done a whole lot of acting. You know, she's in the Hellboy movies, but those, they're not very good. Oh, controversial statement. She was in on a sitcom last year called Catherine Kim, which is an Australian remake of an American remake of an Australian sitcom. I'm gonna draw
that
some.
That didn't last, did it?
No, canceled after one season. Other than that, I mean, she hasn't been in much of all, and that's a shame because I like her a lot.
It's almost as though she got a lot of these younger roles when she stopped being young.
Mm-hmm.
Another movie with Reese Witherspoon, the remake of Dangerous Liaisons, Cruel Intentions.
Which is a great movie.
Wonderful movie.
Great movie. Bill, anything left to say about Legally Blonde?
This is one of my seminal favorites. And I want Reese Witherspoon to come back and do something like this again.
What did you think of her voice talents in Monsters vs. Aliens?
I didn't like Monsters vs. Aliens that much.
Yeah, I didn't really like it that much either, but what about just her?
She was good, but mm-hmm. she wasn't given much to be good with.
No, she wasn't. The script of that movie wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Bill, I do want to just mention real quick that I do like this film for a lot of reasons. Probably my biggest reason for appreciating this movie is that Reese Witherspoon really nails the role. And I do think that she is a fantastic actress, and I do want her to get more work as well. But I also think that there is a certain sweetness to this movie, which is a lot better than the usual saccharine crap that we see in your typical romantic comedies. I think that this movie is at least one level, and probably two or three levels above your typical crappy romantic comedy like The Bounty Hunter or Fool's Gold. Or any piece of crap, 27 Dresses. And well, Bill, I guess we should go ahead and call to can this movie. One of the things that we do here on the podcast is we ultimately decide whether we should call to movie or can a movie. I'm going to let you take the reins on this one, Billy boy.
I know it's been suspenseful. And I'm going to be surprising. But I think this movie should be culted.
I definitely saw that coming. I'm going to say that I feel like in a lot of ways the podcast has outgrown the whole cult or can thing, which is kind of sad because that was our gimmick.
Well, the thing is you're asking me to pick the movie.
That's true. It is.
And I picked a movie I like.
You did. You did. Which means next time we'll pick a movie that I liked.
Okay.
And that you thought was eh. But would
you prefer to instead review Legally Blonde 3, which I don't think anybody in the world has seen?
Is that because it doesn't exist?
No, it's called Legally Blondes. It was made for video, straight-to-video release.
I was completely unaware that it even existed.
Of Elwood's nieces in high school.
Well, you know what? I could actually see them making a proper theatrical sequel to this series. I could see Reese Witherspoon going back and making another one, definitely.
Me too, but it has to be the right one. It can't suffer from, you know, sequelitis.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And actually, the time is kind of right for one. But yeah, if we were reviewing part two, because I think part two is probably the one that we should have done, but I haven't seen it in so long that and I'm not going to go out and try and rent it just because I don't have the time to watch it. But I would have canned part two. And there's no doubt in my mind because I really don't like that movie, and I think it serves as a better candidate for this podcast, just because it's kind of the one that destroyed the franchise in so many words. And maybe I'm overselling the drama on that one, but
I think you are.
But yeah, this is a good movie, and I would call it.
The second one had Bob Newhart, for God's sake. That was it was an awesome role for him too.
Well, that's true. I would say cult this movie just because I think that there's a little bit more going on here in this movie than people perhaps were prepared for, and I think that that's why it was such a big hit initially when it was released, because people were expecting it to be kind of like a dumb Sweet Home Alabama. Well, that hadn't been released yet. Sweet Home Alabama is not as good as Legally Blonde, but people were expecting it to be a very dumb movie. People were judging a book by its cover in a lot of ways, and I really don't like it when people do that about movies. So yeah, if you have not seen this movie, And it's on, like, what channel is this usually run on? TBS? I've seen it on TBS.
Yeah.
Which it's occasionally on. Check it out, and I think that you'll be delighted by Reese Witherspoon's performance, and I think you'll walk away with this thinking to yourself, wow, that was actually much better than I was expecting it to be. I just wanted to let you know that I am illegally blonde, so lock me up and take me to... So if you've enjoyed the podcast, please check us out at culturedcanon.blogspot.com. Let us know what you think of the podcast. We're always looking for feedback and other such things that may arise. So for my co-host...
Bill.
Bill, you're always ruining my timing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's why we love you, Bill.